I'm actually very excited for today. I'm excited for today with all of you, but I'm also really excited today because the guys are up there building me a chicken coop. I know. When was it? In August or July? We got 7 hens, and I just love them. Well, we got 6, and they were super wild and would run away from us. The term pecking order literally comes from chickens in that there's a pecking order. There's like the top hen and the bottom hen. And when we got these 6, the bottom hen was getting pecked on so bad, she was like bleeding everywhere. And chickens will literally become cannibals and just peck and peck and peck and peck. So I rehabbed her and I was really proud of that. And she's beautiful. Her name is Ruby. And then I kind of got this reputation in our neighborhood of being able to rehab chickens. And so then I got another one and she'd been being pecked on and I rehabbed her and she's beautiful. So now I have 7 hens and we've named them all and they're all completely tame. And when I, like, I'm walking up to the coop, they see me and they just start flocking to me. It's the cutest thing. And they'll eat sunflower seeds out of my hands. And so they're building me a bigger coop today and I'm going to get like 30. It'll be great. So I'm very excited for, have you guys seen the meme that says, thank God I live in a world where there's Octobers? That Anne of Green Gables one. Okay, I'm not a big October girl. October to me signifies like the death of my favorite season, which is the garden and being able to be outside. And I was telling Malia last night, she was very gracious in listening to me talk about my garden, but I was like, we pulled out hundreds of pounds of potatoes. Like I think we just finished eating them 2 weeks ago. And then like all the onions we pulled out, they're gonna last until August or September. I just love being outside. So I'm excited. Our spring break is not this week. It's the following week, and I'm hoping to be outside a lot. So not that that has anything to do with the heart of submission, but I wanted to tell you why I'm excited today, not just to be here with you guys. So my original title for this was Submission, the original S word. And I showed it to Graham, and I was like, what do you think? And she's like, wait, are you talking about like that S word? And I was like, yeah. She was like, I like it. And then I showed it to Rich, and he was like, good. And then I was like, okay, I should probably be a little more spiritual than that. So I titled it The Heart of Submission. I wanted to start the whole time by saying, I'm going to try to be very careful and intentional with the words that I say to you guys this morning, because I know that there is a lot of just misunderstanding on this topic within Christian circles. And I myself, I know that there's a lot of even just hurt, I think, that has landed in us as women, possibly. I myself was well-meaning people, but I myself had a few wounds from Christians who didn't fully understand this topic. And I just want to tell you guys before I even get started that I want to be very careful and intentional with you. And if there's something that feels a little rough, like we talked about last night, that's okay. I get it. I was there. I have engaged with it. I wanted to tell you guys a couple stories to help you understand me, just to give you some insight into me and where I was at as I've kind of walked this battle out. So when I was 2, Mom tells a story. I don't remember it. She was trying to potty train me. And she would sit me on the little potty, and she would sit me in front of the TV, or I'd have books or whatever. And I would sit there, she said, for like an hour and a half, and just like be watching stuff, and you know, it wasn't like it was this bad thing. And she would do it and have me sit there for like an hour and a half. Come on, baby. I don't know what she said. I don't remember. And I would get up, and the second that I, like, Mom walked out of the room, I would pee my pants or whatever. And she said that you did it over and over and over again. As a 2-year-old, I would sit there for an hour and a half because I didn't want to get potty trained, I guess. And so Mom always told me, she was like, she never called it stubbornness. She called it being determined, which I so appreciated that phrasing. But she would always say, Morg, well, she called me Morgie, someday this strength, this determination is going to bring such strength into your life and into the lives of people around you. Obviously, I was older when she started saying things like that. But so that was me at 2. And then, so when I was 16, I had a sister older than me. She was 18 months older than me. And Dad and Mom had this thing where it was like, I could never do anything unless my older sister had done it first. And so she had to get her driver's license. And she did not want to get her driver's license. She wanted nothing to do with it. Okay, can you come back?
Thank you.
I mean, he could come in, but he might feel real awkward real fast when I'm talking about biblical submission. Anyway, so the driver's license thing. She did not want to get her driver's license. She didn't want to drive at all. And all I wanted to do was drive. I just wanted to be able to, like, take myself wherever I needed to go. I didn't have to ask for a ride. And so I was like, Dad, just let me get my license first. And Dad was like, no, you know, Erin hasn't gotten her license yet. And so I was like, okay, and kind of thinking about it. And I was like, Erin, I have an idea. And she's like, what? And I said, go get your license. All it requires is you doing one driver's test, get your license, and then I will go to the DMV the next day, and I will get my license, and I will drive us everywhere, but it technically fulfills Dad's response. You know, Dad's like, this is how you have to do it. So Erin did that. She was like, great idea. So she goes and gets her license, and then I got it the next day, and I show Dad the license, and he's like, how did you get your license? And I was like, she got it yesterday. And he was like, oh, I didn't think about that. So that was me at 16, like, determined to figure out a solution that, like, fell within what I was supposed to do. It was probably a little outside the thing, but before we got married and had kids, I loved hiking. And I've done a ton of the 14ers. We were up in Estes one summer, and my cousin was like, I'm going to do this crack team. We're going to hike longs, and we're going to be up and back in 7 hours. It's a 14-mile round trip hike with, like, bouldering and, like, rock climbing, all this stuff. And he's like, we're going to do it 7 hours. And he's like, it's going to be invitation only. And I'm like, okay. You know, and he's telling me all about this. And I'm like, okay. And then he was like, would you be willing to come with me? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. And it was me and six other guys. And I was the only girl that he asked. So just to give you guys some insight into me, this is a wrestle that is worthy of the wrestle. And it has not come easily to me, but it is worth the effort to put in. And so just knowing that that's my heart towards you, I am not standing up here saying all of these things because this was an easy thing for me. I'm saying all of these things because it's been a harder one for me, but a way of life in all of it. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here up in front of everyone. Thanks for just what you want to do in our lives today. Thanks for helping us all get a decent night's sleep, and pray that you would just speak through me and help me remember the things you want me to say and help me to forget the things you don't want me to say. In your name I pray, amen. So if we start back with last night, Genesis 3:4, Heather, you want to read that one for me?
That's a lie, the serpent has, you'll not die.
Okay, I couldn't find it, thank you. So Genesis 3:4, back last night, we left it as Satan said, that's a lie, you will not die, right? So now we're going to start up this morning at Genesis 3:6, where it says, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And so it says the woman was convinced of what Satan told her, that you will not die. Essentially, that was, you will not die. You are just going to miss out if you don't eat the fruit of this tree. And so I read this verse and I'm like, all right. You know, I was talking to Rich about it and I was like, it says she wanted the wisdom it would give her. Why is that a bad thing? And it's good to remember when we read that verse that when wanting wisdom in the right way is a great thing. But in this verse, in this context, in this story, she wanted more than what God had designed for her. God is perfect. He cannot do anything wrong. And he said, hey, this is your boundary. And she wanted more. And she was convinced by Satan that you're not going to die. You're just missing out if you don't engage with this. Because she was convinced, because she bought into that lie, Genesis 3:16 happened. It's on your verse sheets. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. So because she was convinced, Genesis 3:16 landed in all our world. Obviously, in this context, her authority was her husband. But in all our worlds, if we're not married, the context for us is we desire to control the situations around us. We desire to be in control of whatever situation that we're put in. So last night I asked you, is God good? The question that I want to ask you this morning, is God good to women? And I believe that those two questions are at the heart of this entire conversation. If we can say God is good, I don't know the full breadth of it yet. I don't know the full scope of your goodness, but I do believe that you are good. And if we can say, okay, because I believe that God is good, then I believe that God is good to women. We can also say, I don't fully know what that looks like in all his expressions. There are some things in the word that's hard for me to understand. But if I believe God is good, and I believe God is good to women, then all these things that we engage with are from the heart of granting that care to our Father in heaven. And that's why I think last night's question and this morning's question are the heart of all of this. If you read Galatians 3:28, I think one of the reasons that we struggle to think is God good to women is because there is a, I don't know, there's something in our world, a lie in our world that causes us to think that we as women are not equal to men, where we're less than men because of some of the different assignments that God has given us. And yet I don't see that anywhere in the Word of God. If you look at Galatians 3:28, it says, faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you equal with each other. Whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free person, a man or a woman, Jesus modeled submission to all of us. The Lord has not asked us to do an assignment that Jesus, the Son of God, did not do. In John 6:38, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He was granting a, yep, I'm not in charge here. I don't know what needs to be done here. He was granting a submission. Jesus, the Son of God. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then the whole rest of that chapter is different expressions of people submitting to the other person. It's not just women who have been called to submit to or be under authority. But I feel like we take that, and there has been a lie that has been pervasive in our world that means that we're less than. If I said Rory and Graham to you right now, would you automatically assume that one is less important than the other if I said Rory and Graham? No. But we read man and woman, and we automatically assume, because there's been a lie that we have believed in our life, that we are less than. It's good to remember that God has given us equal value and different assignments as men and women. And I think those, we talked about it in my discussion group, but the different assignments seem like they speak to the things that are kind of our natural wiring. So men who are called to take control and take the charge and be in charge and all this stuff, their flesh tendency is to be passive, to let women in situations take over and lead, right? Our wiring, our flesh tendency is to take control, to take charge, to lead out in things. And God has said, no, your assignment is this. I think it's interesting to be thinking through. Satan was not there when God gave the assignments out. Satan and God were not peers. He had no idea what Satan was saying, or what God was saying to us. He had no understanding. He was not a part of that conversation. Yet we as women have granted him a position of authority in our lives to speak into us on this. And he wasn't there. I would love to encourage all of you with, take back that position of authority. Rescind his permission to speak into your life on this topic. I think one of his greatest lies that he has communicated to us is that submission equals oppression. And I think last night we read that verse that talked about him being the craftiest of all the serpents. And I think he's very skilled at deception. And I think that this is one of the greatest lies that he has used, that submission equals oppression. And your second point Your second line is submission doesn't equal oppression. When you read Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Again, with Rory and Graham, do you read in that sentence less than? No. I think it's good that Ephesians 5:6, which says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments that encourage you to sin. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I like the first part of that verse. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. Like we talked about last night, when we're spending so much time over here trying to prove the lie, that we're not even in the game as far as, hey, God, what did you say about this? What did you design for me as a woman? I feel like sometimes the Lord is like looking at us asking all these questions. Am I less than? Does submission mean a bad thing? Is a weaker vessel a bad thing? And I feel like we're engaging in these empty arguments where the Lord's like, I never said that. I never intended that. I never said that. Satan was not there. He has no clue. And we're spending so much time over here that we're not over here trying to figure out, okay, God, what do you have? I know you're good. I know you're good to me. I know you're good to women. So what do you have for me in all of these things? When I asked Rich, so he and I were talking through this teaching, these 2 points, and I was trying to share with him, hey, this is what I would like for my third point. And I was like, how would you phrase that? And he said, your third point should be bring your strength to bear in the worlds that God has put you. Bring your strengths to bear. Rich knew me as a single person. Obviously, I've been married to him for a while. And he said to me, because you wrestled these things out, because you engaged with what the Lord has for you, not these empty arguments, because you did that, he was like, Morgan, you brought so much strength to bear in your worlds as a single woman. And yes, by the grace of God, I have brought it into marriage. But he's like, you need to be encouraging the women to bring their strength to bear. What is the uniqueness about them as a woman that God wants to express in their world? And that should be what they're working on and what they're engaging with the Lord on. Back in January, we had a invitable. We actually borrowed that phrase from CAF, where we can just like invite women to something that doesn't feel quite as maybe intimidating as like a Bible study or something like that. And we did a women's tea, and one of the questions was, if you could sit down with anyone from the Bible, who would you sit down with? Who would you want to spend the day with? And everybody around the table was like, oh, that's so easy. It's Jesus. So then they were like, wait, but who would you say, Morgan? And I was like, I actually wouldn't say Jesus. And everybody was like, what? And I was like, okay, I feel like I know Jesus. Like, I mean, I'm looking forward to heaven and getting to engage with him more. But I was like, I feel like I know him. And I have a relationship with him through the word of God and all this stuff. And then they were like, so who? And I was like, Deborah. And they're like, what? I would want to meet Deborah. I would want to spend the day with her. And I would want to ask her, how did you live out what God had for you? Judges 4:4. I actually have this on my truth pack that I pray through. It's such an intriguing verse to me. Israel's leader at that time, the one who was responsible for bringing the people back to God, was Deborah, a prophetess and the wife of someone. I don't know how to pronounce that word. But I think that she's such a good example of, she was obviously being led by God and in a very significant way. And he also put in the wife of Lapidoth, which means she was a woman under authority. And I think that's such a cool picture to me. Like, okay, God wants to bring some strength to bear in our lives that we can bring into the worlds that we have while also being under authority and submitted to the people that God has put over us. And it's such an encouraging story to me. So I was like, yeah, I would get together with Deborah. I think for me, I remember where I was, and this honestly wasn't that long ago, but I was on one of my prayer walks, and I was just really I was wrestling it out with the Lord and trying to figure out, hey, what does this look like with me and who you've wired me to be? And I felt like the Lord was like, do you think I have assigned you an impossible task? And I was like, okay, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it, praying about it. And he just really ministered to my heart, and he was like, Morgan, I wired you to be the way that you are. Psalm 139:13. I love this version in the Message. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. And so for me, it was just this whole, we went on a little bit of a rabbit trail together where I extended my prayer walk because I was like, okay, I feel like I'm close to understanding something really significant. And the Lord just really ministered to my heart and was like, I have wired you to be who you are. I designed you from the inside out. I gave you the personality that I gave you. I gave the wiring that I gave you. And I picked you to be a woman. I did all of it. Are you telling me that I have given you an impossible task? Are you saying that I can only either be this or I can be a woman? Or are you saying, no, more, I picked this. And I picked you being a woman. I picked this and specifically chose to not have you be a man. And I was blown away by, okay, so if the Lord has not given me an impossible task, then my job is to, in my relationship with the Lord, seeking advice from older women who've gone ahead of me, my job is to figure out, Lord, how do you want me to express this? How do you want me to live out this wiring that you have given me? And I'm not talking about flesh. My flesh tendency is still to control everything, but the strength that I know that can bring to bear, how do you want me to live this out as a woman, not in spite of being a woman? And then I feel like later on, a little bit later that week, so then it kind of made me think through the whole gentle and quiet spirit. Okay, you've called me to be a gentle and quiet spirit. I struggle with what that means a little bit because I'm not always a quiet person. My mother was like this incredible example to me of someone who I would think is a gentle and quiet spirit. And so I kind of leaned into that one a little bit more. And I read that verse. I started reading, okay, God, give me an understanding to know what this looks like, how this plays out in my life. And 1 Peter 3:4 says, be beautiful inside in your hearts, with the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious to God. And do you know what is not talked about in that verse? Her outside, her personality. A gentle and quiet spirit. God has picked each of our personalities. He has wired us from the inside out. I understand that we all have flesh tendencies to those personalities and wirings, and I'm not talking about those, but I'm saying he chose to write that verse down, and he talked about your inside, not your outside. A woman with a gentle and quiet spirit is a woman who is teachable, is a woman who wants to learn, who seeks to learn, who is actively seeking the heart of her heavenly Father, a woman who grants to God, I don't necessarily know everything that you mean by this, but I do know you're good, and I know you're good to me, and I am going to lean in, and I am going to work to understand. And there is a lot of nuances that come up in this whole topic. There's lots of different individual situations that can be like, okay, I mean, we were talking about some good ones this morning, like, okay, this is a nuance in this particular role and assignment that we have. The way that you navigate those things is sitting down in front of your Heavenly Father and having a quiet time and just seeking to understand His heart and seeking to understand, God, what do you have for me? And He grows us. He says His word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as I've come up to these nuanced situations, God, how do you want me to act in this situation? I just keep going back to Him. And I seek advice from women who are ahead of me that seem very clearly like they're walking in biblical womanhood. Maybe not perfectly, but they're trying. And they seem like they are the description of a gentle and quiet spirit, not necessarily personality, but the whole not walking in fear, not walking in anger, having a heart to grant to the Lord that He is good and that He's good to me. So I think it's wise to remember that if we don't bring it as women, if we don't bring what God has asked us to bear in the worlds that we are in, it is missing, and it always stays missing. Nobody else is going to fill in. If you don't bring what God has for you as a woman into the world that God has for you, it will always stay missing. That verse, John 6:63, says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, the truths that I've been speaking to you are spirit and life." And I'm imploring you women. I spent many, many years trying to figure this out on my own, trying to bring good into the world around me, not necessarily walking it out biblically. And I spent years trying to figure that one out and trying to do it on my own. And then when I submitted, because the heart of submission has nothing to do with the human beings that we submit to, the heart of submission for each one of us as women is, are we submitting to our Heavenly Father, to our good God, who only has good for us? Because if we're submitting to Him, if our heart is submitted to Him, then we can navigate each situation that comes up, and we can grow in that. And in that is the way of life for us as women, figuring out biblical womanhood. I love, is it on your sheet, Proverbs 31:18? Yeah. "She senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day." I pray that all the time. God, help me to sense the worth of my work. Help me to sense the worth of what you have called me to. I'm not going to spend my time over here in an empty argument. I'm going to spend my time over here working to figure out what you have for me. And I want to sense the worth of my work, of being a woman in our world today, of expressing the other half of you. I want to sense the worth of my work. Psalm 116:8-9 says, "You, Lord, have saved my life from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Now I will walk at your side in this land of the living." This has been a hard wrestle for me. This has been one of the most difficult of my life as a Christian. And I am telling you, it is worth the wrestle. It is worth the work. We move from death and destruction that Satan brought into Eve's life when she believed the lie that she was missing out. And we move to the land of the living when we walk this out the way that the Lord has designed for us, that He carefully put together for us. So that's all I've got for you. Dear Jesus, thank you for just this opportunity. And God, there's so much we could say. We could literally spend an entire weekend talking about this one topic. And I know that we've just scratched the surface, but God, you are good. I am convinced of that to my soul. I am convinced of that to my core. And not because I have not walked through hard things. There has been very challenging, painful things that you have allowed to happen in my life. But God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are good, and you have good for me, and you have good for each woman in this room with the commands that you've given us, the instruction that you've given us. And God, we just thank you for the privilege of being a woman. We thank you for the privilege of expressing half of you in our world today. God, help us to remember that if we don't bring what you have designed us to bring in our worlds, it's missing, and it always stays missing. And there's something unique that you have for each one of us in this. And God, we just ask you for wisdom, that you'd fill us with the knowledge of all wisdom and spiritual understanding on this. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be a woman. In your name I pray. Amen.